sometimes happens. Such is usually the practice. I have a sermon at 8:45 service, and then kind of feel how that happens and what the Lord is speaking in that, and think about then what's the word for this next gathering here at 11 today. So I was reflecting on that, and kind of a powerful revelation into the terms of this text. Something that I shared at 8:45 became more deeply revealed to me. So I want to share for just a couple minutes, and I know it's Communion Sunday, and so maybe some of the structure of this sermon will not be quite as smooth as I would like in the time frame, but I feel this is a word we need to hear. So with that in mind, let's see how we can be faithful to God's word in the midst of this. I do want you to think about, just imagine for a minute, you're with somebody that maybe your spouse or a friend, that you're heading home or maybe to a dinner engagement somewhere. And you just have a conversation. They open the door, you walk into the room, maybe in your house, maybe at a restaurant, something like that. And all of a sudden, about 20 people go, "Surprise!" And instantly you are surrounded by a bunch of folks who are maybe your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, people that you know, that you have a relationship with. And in a minute, you are immersed in a party that is for you. You are surrounded by a community of persons who are not only wishing you well, but in a mood of celebrating, are telling you in the most powerful way, their very presence, that you belong. How do you feel about surprise parties? Are you excited by that? Does my description of that make you giddy? Like, let's have one right now? Are there others that are a little less enthusiastic? How many of you are kind of, surprise party's not my thing? Just out of curiosity. Just one? Apparently lying is a lot of people's things. So that's good. Because look, we get to some degree that and I gotta come down here. This surprise party thing is uncomfortable for some of us. And maybe at different times it has a different level, but something about coming in and not having control over your situation is a little bothersome. Particularly when that lack of control has created an environment where you are simply in the midst of receiving love and care and focus on you without you getting to pick and choose and prepare. It's a little overwhelming, even for the most spontaneous people. Sometimes we get a little emotional. But what I want to offer to you is that in the midst of that moment where you are in the midst of a surprise party for you, there are a couple ways that this thing can go. You can be authentic and maybe a little emotional and connect and start to, after the shock is worn off and they pick you back up off the floor, you can joke a little bit and the adrenaline drops down and you can just have a wonderful time seeing people maybe that you haven't seen or didn't know that they felt this way about you or had a certain excitement, and you kind of go along and you start saying things like, "Gosh, I'm so glad that you came. How nice it was. You guys didn't have to do this." There can also be sort of the hostile humility. "You shouldn't have done this. There's no reason for this to be for me. I don't deserve this." You know, kind of that to keep people at arm's length. You can be darn right hostile. "I don't like it. I don't want to be here. I'm going to be grumpy. Don't care what you say. This really makes me mad. I'm angry. I'm embarrassed. I'm hurt." Whatever those feelings are, not my vibe. Whatever that is, you can turn the flavor of that gathering in a certain direction, can't you? Now, people around you may continue to have a good time in the party, but the way you respond to that surprise party has a lot of impact on how the rest of that party goes. It reveals a lot about who you are and how you feel about yourself and the relationships that you have. It's not a perfect image of today's scripture, but there's something very connective about that. That Jesus is with his disciples and they're gathered at a kind of a party, a celebration. They're having a dinner. Now, they know that they're there. Jesus, they know, is there. Jesus knows they're there. So what's the surprise, you might ask? Well, the surprise is this. Even though Jesus has been telling them for many passages before, so let's say over a period of several weeks, that this is going to go dark in a very quick time. There's my death. There's all sorts of things that are going to be uncomfortable. They don't want to hear it. So then, in some degree, they're surprised by Jesus' starkness at laying out what is about to happen in the next few hours. So that might be a little bit of a surprise, but in the peace of that, Jesus lays on them this powerful picture of how things are. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. And at first we go, well, that seems like a warm fuzzy, that is a nice thing. But if we reflect about it a little bit, it's not just that they've seen Jesus almost supernaturally acting in a place and doing things and healing people and being all over the country and people being excited that he's there. It's also drawn some significant enemies, people whose appreciation of Jesus' love and teaching does not jive. And there's hostility, and there's homelessness, and there's always having to move and never being able to be rewarded and get on top. There's not being in power and control. All of these things are part of how God's loving the Son. And that may be a little unsettling. So you can get that, as the Father's loved me, so I love you. But it gets richer than that. Not only is there a different dynamic in that, but Jesus goes on to say, you're no longer just servants. You're not just people who this is happening to. You're no longer at arm's length. You are my friends. You are my friends. And it's a surprise because Jesus doesn't say you have earned the right to be friends. You've done such a good job, I would have no other friends before you guys. Man, if there was ever a group of people who were better off. I mean, Jesus knows that one of them is going to betray them. All of them in the next 12 hours are going to desert him. They're going to run and hide and disavow him in every way possible. Not exactly the friends that you would pick. And Jesus knows this, yet he says, you are my friends. In this time, friendship is more than just we have common interests. Friendship, as Aristotle would point out, has to do with working to seek and make the other person more wise, a virtuous person. Friendship in that sense, and using this kind of word, is about I'm helping to shape you and transform you and move with you in a journey, not just that we're having common interest. Kierkegaard would say a couple thousand years later as a theologian that really what love is helping another person know God's love, and being loved is that someone is helping you to know God's love. That kind of role of intimacy and friendship, are you with me? That has something to do with who we are becoming, not just acquaintances, not just people who are interested in the same thing, but an intimacy and a connection. Now, why this matters, and this is what I want to open up to us today and just let it resonate as it does. We kind of gloss over what it means to be a friend. And when Jesus says, I love you, yes, we know Jesus loves us. This I know. What a friend we have in Jesus. I can sing those words. But in this relationship, listen, let us to a deeper picture of this. I believe that all of us are created in God. That the world is and creation is a unified thing. It is in God. Paul says that we are the body of Christ. We are one in God, one in Christ. That there is the way things are is that we are connected, that we belong, that all creation belongs, that the universe belongs, that we are in God. This is a God who creates out of himself, that has brought all things into being through him. And that's how God is and how love is. It's unifying. It's connected. But when we have an illusion of separateness, of separation, that no, I don't belong. No, I'm outside of God's love. No, that is for something else. Or no, you are not my brother or sister. You are an enemy. You are not a friend. You are something other. I'm not sure if I like you or don't like you. When we make ourselves feel like there's separation, it moves us to acts of what we would call sinfulness or selfishness. We tend to be less connected with other people. We want to make our own way. And look, as Americans, we're raised up in this. Get the highest point you can. Make your own life. Be the winner. Achieve all that you can. Prove that you belong. Make your mark. Be become something more. And the gospel says there is nothing more to become. You already are, but you don't know it. And so Jesus has gathered with his friends, and they've grown up in a way that looks at sin as something that could possibly separate us from God. I am such a horrible person. God could never love me. You don't know what I've done. God can't love me. I have to earn God's love back. I have to do the right thing so that God will love me. This is the narrative that we build up. But it's an illusion. The gospel clearly says that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. God's love is not an arbitrary moment. God's love is poured out around us and among us like us in a middle of a surprise party. You don't get to choose that God loves you. And you can step away from the party and it doesn't stop that they love you and that there is a party for you. God's love is unmerited. It is grace-filled. It is agape. It pours out. It doesn't demand anything. It happens. It is how we are drawn together. That's the heart of our faith. The illusion of sinfulness or the movement to separate ourselves apart, that's a problem. That's a problem because what we miss is the joy and the truth and the security of our belonging. So let's take Jesus in the middle of this moment where he's sharing last words with his followers. And what he expresses to them, you need to know, you've seen how God loves. You've seen how the Father loves me. I have shown you what that looks like in every person we've encountered, in the ones who were outcasts, in everyone who you drove away, in the enemies, in the friends, in the neighbors, in the ones who were unclean, in the ones who were sitting on the highest throne of power. I've expressed and shown you what God's love looks like. I've loved you that way. And the whole purpose of my coming is so that you would know that you belong. That you know there's nothing that you can do that can drive you away from my love. There is nothing, no matter what religion has said, that can keep you from being in God's love, because that is how all things are held together. It's everywhere. What you can do is push away from it. And when you do that, you're missing something. Jesus says, I come to tell you this so that my joy that you see in relationship with God would be in you. And that your joy would be complete. Your agony and your suffering is because you don't believe that you belong. That you think you can do something or have tried to do something that keeps you away from that love. And Jesus is here in person to say, that is not the case. And disciples, none of you picked because you're the most awesome people in the world. You're going to betray me. You're going to desert me. It's okay. You're deep in my love. And all I want you to do is to let that love flow through you to others. Because when you receive the truth that you belong to me, when you know deep in your soul, in no uncertain terms, that you are loved, the way you know that is by loving other people. The way you love each other, it allows the love that is here and present to flow through you. When you shut that off, when you push away mutuality, oh, I'm just a groveler and God is some sort of Santa Claus that pours down things on the unworthy. If you try to live like that, you'll never know the joy of my love, because you've got to let it go. You've got to express it to others. And truthfully, when you do that, they may kill you. When you try, church, to be powerful and run politics, when you try to decide who's a good person and who's a bad person, when you try to put your morality on the rest of the world and split people apart, you know what? You won't feel joy, because you're missing the mutuality. Now, here's where I really want to help us hear something. Jesus went on to say, you know what friendship looks like? What this kind of love looks like? It is the willingness to give your life for another, right? For your friend. Jesus has shared with them the truth of God's love. He has revealed it. God said, God so loved the world that he sent his son so that we would see and know what love looks like, so that we would know, as Pam said, if you have arms and legs and you move and you breathe and you look, that it is for you. That is your love. That is who you are. This is who Jesus is. This is how it is. This is the divine revelation of God's love. It looks like a person who knows that they're loved and they love everybody else because they're in flow with God's love. And Jesus said to his friends, so this is what's going to happen. Because there are persons who cannot get in the mutual flow. There are people who it makes it so angry that they have separated themselves. There are people who grab onto the illusion of sinfulness and seek to separate themselves so difficultly they will do anything, including act violently and kill someone who stands in the way of mutual love. They hate a surprise party. They won't participate. They won't let anybody love them. They won't love other people. They will be defensive and make their... They will push away in so many ways we all will and do. But that doesn't mean they're not loved or you're not loved. So I will go and I will, in the passion of Christ, in the passionate love, I will take all of their suffering. You won't suffer this. The disciples' time will come. But for right now, I'm not going to back away from love, Jesus said. And I will die so that you don't have to. And so that you will see without a doubt the truth I'm telling you, that you belong, and that the way to joy is to allow God's love and the Holy Spirit that dwells in you to love other people and to let down the walls and the hate and the anger and the things that separate you out of fear and self-loathing, to let that go. And the way that I'm proving it is I will go to the cross for you, and I will die faithfully without ceasing to love for a moment, and without knowing that God loves me for a moment, even if I am crucified like a criminal. God loves me because I know the Father's love, and I have shared that with you. That's the truth of love that Christ has shown. Not for the purpose of paying some sort of debt, not for evening up the score, taking care of the big guy upstairs. Simply so that his disciples would know that what he told them, you are completely loved. You belong completely. There's not a sheep that is lost that I will not go find. There's not a coin that is lost I won't know. There's not a person who runs away from their family that it will not release or receive back. There's nothing that will separate you from the love of Christ. And I'm willing to go to the cross to do that. So you'll know, and then there'll be no question. How should I love my neighbor? With all your heart. How should I feel about needing to be in control and power? You don't need to, because you're completely loved. What could I do to earn God's favor and be more amazing and good? Absolutely nothing, because you are already perfect in God's sight. You just don't know it. And when you live like you're not loved, it's ugly and it hurts. And it breaks up things, and it makes you feel unloved and uncared for, and that's not the truth, but it is our choice. So the question is, as Jesus says forward, love one another as I've loved you, and you'll know. And not only will you know, but do you understand that the mercy and the grace of God in this plan through the church to make the whole world, the whole universe know of God's love is simply to love other people? That's the whole game plan. And he reminds us, he invites us to communion. He says, this is my body, this is my blood. Take and receive. Will you receive? Will you be willing to be loved this way? Will you trust it? What more can I prove to you, Jesus says, than to love your brother or sister is to go and to die for them? I will do that. And the good and marvelous news is that God would not suffer even his son to be lost. And he raised him from the dead. That's the Easter story, right? That even Christ willing to go and die in the love because he trusts God's love, God raises him up. This is who God is. Can you imagine even one who loves perfectly? Even death will not allow us to be separated from the love of Christ. That is the gospel story. That is the heart of communion. It is the crucifixion and resurrection. It is the atonement. It is simply the revelation of God's love. And church, and I'm telling you, it's just where we are. To me, that may be the best time I've ever heard and understood the cross in my life. I can tell you lots of theology, but to understand that the invitation is simply to know that you're loved And that Jesus has been willing to show that with the nth degree of proof. He says, you're my friends. I love you. Love others as I have loved you. I'll send the Spirit will dwell within you. Go and bear fruit. Go and love. Go and trust that you belong. What if today, the first time in your life in communion, when you come and you receive the bread and drink the wine, what you recognize is that you said, I am willing to know that I belong. I'm willing to acknowledge. I'm willing to receive. I'm willing to not have to be separate and decide about those people and those people and who's right and who's wrong, because it's really nonsense when it comes to the gospel. There's a party and there was a surprise, and you were at the heart of it, and Jesus says, I love you. And that you could know this, and I'm telling you, the only way you can ever discover this love is when you're willing to let go and love another as I've loved you. That is the church. Amen? Amen. I want to move